I am all in.
With Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, everybody, I'd like to welcome back one of our most illustrious guests, one of our debut guests on the I Am All In podcast, Rose Abdu, ladies and gentlemen, reintroducing, reinvigorated. Here she is. Hello, Rose.
Hello.
How are you?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
I still say Happy New Year on day 12 of January because...
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
I figure if you saw a baby and the baby was only 12 days old, it's a very new baby.
Yeah.
So it's just brand new 2022.
Exactly.
Couldn't be more excited to
be with you. And 2022 is yet to spit up on me.
That's right.
Or poop or pee on me. It hasn't done that yet. Actually, it has because I got COVID. So, yeah, it has.
Somebody was saying, oh, is 2022 going to be that bad boyfriend that goes, just give me another chance, because we already gave it like two chances, you know, just like 2021. All right, this is your last chance, 2022.
It really is.
I'm so sorry you got that. Now, did you get the Omicron or did you get the?
I don't know which one it was, but it wasn't terribly bad.
Okay.
You know, it was just fatigue, a lot of fatigue.
Yes.
It was, and a chest cold, you know, head cold that would turn into a chest cold. So
my friend posted a thing that said that Omicron, the people who haven't gotten COVID, it's like you're playing a dodgeball game and that front line is really thinned out. Like,
right.
You're just like,
right. So you're going to avoid it.
Yeah. I saw people, you know, I got to see people this Christmas. It was different than last Christmas. I got to hang out with, I saw Sally.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was great. And it was so much fun. And I hadn't seen her since we were on your podcast.
Right.
Really. You know, it's so hard. That's the part that I miss, is seeing people and getting together. I know.
I'm trying to bring people together.
Yes, that's great.
This
is saving people's mental lives.
Get everybody together, for God's sake. You know,
nobody. I had very exciting news this morning. I'm just going to tell you because it just happened.
Tell me.
That the show I'm doing on HBO Max, Hacks, which I'm very proud of, won the Golden Globe on Sunday. And I was like, oh, this pandemic. It won Golden Globe for Best Comedy. And we didn't have Emmys. The cast couldn't go to the Emmys this year because of the pandemic. The Golden Globe didn't happen because of the pandemic and other things. And this morning, the Screen Actors Guild nominations came out and we got a nomination for Best Ensemble.
Bravo.
So I'm very, very excited.
Are you going to the party?
Bring? It's February 27th.
Are you a series regular on the show?
Yeah, I've got to be the article came out, the 9 ensemble players. And I thought, oh, my character number is 8. I just got in there. So
look at you go. Really good for you. Congratulations. Hacks.
Thank you very much. Hacks. I'm so proud of it. It's such a good show. I just love it. I would love it even if I wasn't on it. I mean, I sometimes don't even want to know the scripts because I want to just enjoy it like a...
Right.
That's how I was with Gilmore. I watched all Gilmore like a fan, you know?
Right.
I loved it like a fan.
Right. Right.
So, people know that show. People know our show, Scott, so much better than I do. Like, they'll refer to episodes that I was in, and I'm like, that sounds vaguely familiar. And I don't know what they're talking. Remember, you were sitting at the diner in your face when Lorelai came down from Luke's time. I was like, I don't, I want to remember as well as they do, but I don't remember everything.
Yeah, I know. They know a chapter and verse, and when I do conventions and I meet people, they talk about the scenes and the episodes, and I have no idea what they're talking about. I feel so bad.
Like
I go,
I'm so grateful.
Right.
I almost want to rewatch it. Like when they told me about coming on and talking about it, I was
you
like,
should.
Yeah, I need to rewatch. Well, I at least should rewatch the ones I'm in. So I'll know what I'm talking about.
Well, this one, I mean, I tell you what, this episode, we just did a whole hour on the episode, right? Your debut with Richard and Dean, right? Your debut was fantastic. It was funny. You stole the scene.
Oh, thank you.
And, you know, it was just this perfect episode from beginning to end. And I had to give it a thumbs down because it was such a downer. It left me so empty because Richard was so out of his element without a job. And he's being a pain in the ass and he has no purpose in life anymore. And it's like, why did they destroy the character to this extent.
Oh, I didn't realize
it took
that.
Me just, out of the.
I gotta watch it again.
You gotta watch this. Yeah, you do.
Oh, I have to watch it again because my memory of it is just like, oh, it was so much fun. I was so nervous because I got to meet him and he's from Michigan.
Right.
And we got to talk and both of them were so tall. And, you know, I just remember like peripheral things about it. And I just remember thinking, this is so exciting. It's my first day and I want to do well. And I knew I had to go fast because Amy likes everything fast. And,
yeah. Yeah. You know, it's an extraordinary show. It's just an extraordinary show and it's so well crafted. But, you know, I really now see how they hook everybody. I see now why people watch these episodes over and over and over and over again.
And people say things, I'm sure they say it to you, that it's very comforting.
Right.
Like when they are out in the world and doing their whole thing, when they get to come home and just go to Stars Hollow and be with the people. And I found that experience during the pandemic. I watched Schitt's Creek and I thought, this must be how people felt about Stars Hollow. Like you just love the coziness of this, just a certain finite group of people. It's not like, there's not a lot of electronics and there's no spies. And it's just like a comforting family.
I'm different. I watch strange things to get comfort.
Oh, you do? What brings you comfort?
You know, I'll watch, you know, Ad Astra.
What relaxes you? What?
Like Ad Astra with Brad Pitt. You know, he
really?
Goes out to space. Yeah. It's
okay.
Like a lot of people have told me that's the most dank, remote, dark thing they've ever seen. And they didn't like it. It gives me great comfort.
That relaxes you.
It does. Because I know there's an artist out there who's a huge superstar who's making non-commercial choices and doing the type of work he wants to do. It gives me great comfort.
Interesting.
It does. Okay. I'm so happy to see an artist not, you know, selling out all over the place.
But name it's something like, else that you just could watch just to relax, like mindless stuff to relax. Like I love watching things like Project Runway because I love watching people create things.
No. No, I don't watch reality shows. No. You know, there was a show on that I really relaxed me called Billions. It was on Showtime with Damian Lewis and Paul Giamatti and Maggie Seth.
Was Malin Ackerman in that?
Yes.
And I
thought the show suffered when she left. She was the wife of Damian Lewis, who was the lead character. He was the venture capital guy, the hedge fund guy. But when her character left, he lost his moral center. And I thought this show really suffered.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I
watched Succession. I love that show, Succession.
I know Brian. Brian is an old friend, Brian Cox. And I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
You kind of have to watch all of them, though. It's a big
commitment. No, I want to check it out. I'm going to check it out.
It's cool.
But yeah, no, I have very odd, you know, like I watched Fury last night. You know, it's a war film and it relaxed me. You know, really.
All right. You're relaxed with space, outer space and fighting. Or
I don't know. You know, it's not necessarily that I'm obsessed with Brad Pitt. It's just, I like the films that he chooses to do.
Yeah.
Because those would be the films that he is interesting.
Yes. He really
I think he's one of the more interesting people to come along in the history of the business.
I loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Absolutely brilliant choice.
Just cool.
Just great.
Character.
Yes.
Yeah. And I thought I liked that they did it that way because they could have reversed those roles.
Right.
Like given Leo, you know.
Absolutely.
I wondered if that was ever on the table where he could have been the other guy. I don't know.
I don't know. I think when you're at that level, they kind of give you a choice. Like you guys work it out. What would you like to do next?
Like you had this big, long stint as this romantic lead, you know, what's a thing that you go, yeah, I really want to do that. That people would be like, really? Do you have a thing? People ask me that. And I'm like, I would like to speak in my own voice and not have an accent.
I think I like the less is more type of stuff. I like the nonverbal acting. I like the physicality of a character. I like you know, the outsider, something that's unexpected, something that's not necessarily Terrence Malick-y, but you know, along those lines.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a little existential, little out there. You know, because you don't see that a lot and they don't make those films anymore. And they do, if they do, you know, who sees them and when do you get a chance to see them? And they're just so buried deep in the business and you really have to unearth them. I like those kinds of films. I like foreign films.
I miss the experience of watching a movie in a dark room with a bunch of other people. I think it really changes the experience than when you're just on your couch and you pause it and you go to the bathroom. Like, it's not the same thing. It's, I try and get myself ready for a viewing and just sit there and watch it.
I think that there are some films that are suited for public exposure and some films that aren't. And I don't think it really matters. And I really, the last film that I had a real experience in, a communal experience with an audience, which was hugely impactful, and you know, the electricity was amazing, was Pulp Fiction.
Oh
I saw it near the Beverly Center. There's a theater across the street from the Beverly Center, and everybody was like, a Friday night, and it was a debut, and it was like, oh my God, everybody was so excited by this film.
What a great one to see with people. Oh, yeah.
It was electric. The whole film was electric. Yes.
Oh, I got so thinking about that. Yeah. Yes. I had
that's
that
the last time I had one of these great experiences.
I had that with Sixth Sense, and I knew nothing about the movie, and it was packed. There wasn't a seat to be had in the theater, and we were all like, you know. But I love the fact that this show, like when we were doing this show, we had no idea that it would be like, now they're streaming it, so you could watch it over and over. You know, you think like you watch it and then it's gone. Maybe if you're a huge fan, you buy the VCR tapes or whatever. But but for this to last this long, I was really thinking about it. I met people that are a mother, the daughter, and the daughter. So it's like the Rory, the Lorelai, and the Emily, like that many generations. And these kids are 11 and 12 years old. Oh, we love it.
That's
so rewarding to be in something that people love for that many years.
It's just, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, what a fluke that any of us got that job.
I know,
you know, because at that time, you know, at that time they were giving movie stars, movie stars were crossing over into television because they weren't making as many movies. Right. So that in 2000, that was kind of like a thing. It was becoming a thing. I thought, I don't have a chance for this. This script's too good. They're going to get, Benjamin Bratt. They'll get somebody, they'll get a movie guy.
Right.
They'll get Dermot Mulroney will be Luke or somebody. It's not going to be me.
Perfect timing, perfect chemistry. And then the fact that it was CW, like I used to tell people, people were like, what channel is it? Like they just didn't. Right. I'm just so grateful for like Netflix and just the fact that it's found like a new generation of fans. I guess I say this every time, but I still can't believe it.
Odd that it ended up there. Yeah.
Yeah. And people ask me all the time, well, will they do one more? And I thought, you know what I picture like, well, what about like a Christmas movie? You know, like, I think there should be, I know Year in the Life was like, maybe finished, felt like Amy felt like she finished it the way she wants to finish it. But I felt like.
Finished it off.
One more. Can't there be like one more little, I wish there was like one more little, just a Christmas movie, just to see what everybody's doing.
How about a wedding?
I wish. How about a wedding? Yeah.
How about giving the, you know, listen, this is.
These are our ideas.
This is low hanging fruit here, but I'm going to pick it. You know, the fans, now they've waited for 21 years, 22 years for a wedding. And I think they deserve a wedding.
There you go.
Big, fat, hairy, bulbous.
Whole town in.
Well, just crazy wedding.
Yeah.
That's what they need.
That would be fun. And a lot of all the side stories that go along with planning a wedding, that the whole town prepared for it. Well,
Luke and Lorelai, big fat wedding.
Yeah.
It's a big fat Stars Hollow wedding. Maybe, you
that's
know,
Rory, our idea.
Rory could have a wedding too. Maybe she could marry the baby daddy. Who the hell
the
knows?
The mother daughter wedding.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not? I'm in. That's why I love the name of your show. I'm all in. I said the one time you fly without makeup, I was coming back from doing Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar, another plug for a movie that I did that I think is so funny. And I'm coming back from Albuquerque and this guy goes, Rose Abdu. And I thought, I don't know you. And he's got a TMZ camera. And he's like, what do you think of doing? I don't even know what the question was, but I know I answered, well, I'm in. So then it came. It was across the Chiron was like, well, I'm in.
Right.
Gypsy were to, they were due any kind of, maybe it was a wedding. I don't even know what his question was. I was so floored, but I thought, yeah, that would be fun to do one more thing. You know, I don't want anyone to think like most of the cast would be into it. I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, look, in the great tradition of Michael Cimino and The Deer Hunter and Francis Ford Coppola and The Godfather, let's just do a huge wedding. And that'll be the opening scene, and it'll be the only scene. And it'll just go on and on and on, right?
I love The Godfather. I don't care if people criticize 3. I love anytime I get a glimpse of those characters, I'm in. I don't care what they're doing. I really don't.
I
love.
Yeah, 3 is watchable. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
In that
you have to know the people, though. You can't just jump in on 3. You got to know.
Yeah. Sure. But I mean, those first two are so extraordinary. My God.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Just what those are my favorite movies. I think Goodfellas and The Godfather are my favorite.
Don't you get I get famished every time I watch Goodfellas.
Oh my God.
When they're cutting the garlic in prison like that and the close-ups of the and the bread
you got
the bread now we can eat. Well, pour the wine. I get famished every time I watch that film.
I said if you don't have the right amount of pasta and bread in your house before you start the movie or any Sopranos episodes, you got to have your snacks. Doesn't Gilmore make people so hungry they eat constantly? That's what I realized checking in on a couple episodes. They're always eating.
I get that. I have never gotten hungry watching the episodes.
Okay, probably because you were intimately aware of everything that was going on.
I'm just too busy analyzing them, but I guess.
They crave Pop-Tarts and food and Chinese food and everything. They order so much food.
They do, right? Yes. My God.
I have a friend, Christy Carlson, did a cookbook, Eat Like a Gilmore. She made a series of cookbooks
called
Eat Like a Gilmore.
Really?
And did every recipes based on the different scenes of the show. And it is so wonderful. It's just really a cool.
Really?
I think a lot of people have ordered, many people have ordered it, Christy Carlson, Eat Like a Gilmore. But I think that's so like a testament to how cool the show was that the fans even want to eat the food that we ate in the show.
You know what? Yeah. I think that should be a new segment for the episodes when we analyze. We should do a food segment because you're right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're right.
It's so
We should have a regular food section and a junk food because it's like junk food is predominant in this show.
Yeah. Remember when we did the reboot and the big giant table read? You were there, weren't you? It was a huge table read.
Of course.
They had every snack. Do you remember that? And nobody was eating. I was the only person with a little plate. I kept looking around like, this is for us, right?
You mean
nobody?
When we did that, when we were up in the Black Cube at Warner Brothers? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was in the executive suites.
Right. With the big flowers and all the like, welcome back, everybody. They had the cake and the Pop-Tarts and the Twizzlers.
It was wild.
I was the only, I was so embarrassed, but I'm like, there's a lot of good food. I didn't want, I was eating. I ate.
I had some food. I had a tuna fish sandwich. I had chip. I was pigging out. Are you kidding me?
I was looking around like, God. How come no one but me is eating all of this food? All right. So
I used to come into those table reads and just stack up on the food. I did. I sat there and pigged out because I didn't really have very many lines in the beginning.
Okay. You know, maybe I just didn't notice your plate because I was like, why is no one eating but me? I'm glad you're eating.
For God's sake. No, I was scarfing down food. Are you kidding? And then I'd put some in my bag when I left. Are you kidding me? I love that food. I love crafty food.
I love when people bring. That's the thing that's gone from working like that, Scott. That was one of the favorite things. Like, remember the coffee truck?
Yeah.
There would be like Amy and Dan would get us a coffee truck. People would be interested in that, right? Because coffee was such a big part of the show. So we loved it when they would call second team because we would meet over at the coffee truck.
Right.
And I loved that. This type of working now with the pandemic, you can't hang out with people. You're not supposed to be close to anybody. You've got to send somebody to craft service. I was like, this has changed the whole thing. That's where we hung out, the snack truck, especially for the revival. There was the snack barn and then the snack truck. Remember?
Right, now there's no more of that.
There's no.
Yeah, there was the craft service truck, and we'd always go in there and make a sandwich.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now that's all gone. Now that to me was one of the biggest parts of the enjoyment.
God, that was great.
Yeah.
That was.
And now you can't do that. You pandemic has ruined that.
Come on into the truck. Make yourself a sandwich.
Oh yeah. It's the greatest.
Oh my God, that was the greatest.
Not food.
Yeah. It's
so fun.
Having a job.
Do you remember the episode where we did in the revival when it was dinner time and Berta made that weird mush? Berta made like a food that was, you had to eat it. And Lauren and Rory, it was like a mush like that. They go, it's kind of crunchy, but kind of peanutty, but kind of smushy, but they couldn't figure out what it was. And I had to keep serving it. Do you remember that?
I don't remember it. No.
You were like, this is disgusting. You had to eat it. And I was just like, it's requiring no acting on your part to pretend you don't like it. but it was fun. But I liked anything. Like, I loved the revival because I got to go inside the buildings. Like, to me, Gypsy was always outdoors or the town meeting or whatever. But I loved playing Berta because to be in the Gilmore house, to me, was the most exciting.
Right.
Yeah. We were there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like, that was a pleasant set. The Gilmore house was a great set.
Yes.
Because you could do so much in there. You could do the living room. You could do the kitchen stuff. You could do the foyer stuff. You could do outside.
Yeah.
They had it all set up and it kind of looked real.
But did you love your diner? Did you love being in your diner?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah. That was my office, man. That was my place. I loved it. I felt like, okay, you know, I kind of felt like I was doing my own show within a show. Yeah. In there. It's like Luke's place, you know, that kind of thing. My fantasies were running amok. I was going to get my own show. I love it. And the Netflix, the way they built it was, it was much brighter colors. Everything was new. This floor was very spongy because the sound department obviously gave them notes, like make it so we don't have to do so much looping. So the floor was super spongy.
Yeah, that's right. I loved it because I love the signs, like the, it's so him to be like, no man buns. I just remember reading it and thinking, oh, people are going to love this.
Right.
It was super fun. Because that's where we would hang out during break.
Right.
The chairs, the cast chairs were in the diner. I have a couple pictures of us.
Exactly. They were, weren't they?
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
I just remember riding in a golf cart with lights on it around Stars Hollow at night and thinking, people would give anything for this experience. Like, it was so magical and so much fun. And it was like, this is such a, I wish this town was real.
We had more real estate than anybody on that lot.
Yeah.
By a long shot.
Oh yeah.
We had the entire back lot. All of that real estate was ours. That was Stars Hollow. Plus we had the sound stages too.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, I wanted to ask you this. Remember in the Winter Carnival, like I was thinking it's called, people probably go, you live in California. Why do you have a scarf on? I'm always cold. Like my house is just cold. I don't know why we have the heat on. It's cold. Right. When you see fake snow, because that whole Winter Carnival, the way they made it was cold. It tricks you into thinking I'm cold. Do you get that when you look at, like, you're in the midst of the snow's not real, but I'm cold because I'm visually, and I think, and what's that visual cue that I'm sending my brain of like, but I'm looking at snow, therefore I'm cold. I was cold.
I'm never cold. I'm always running hot. It doesn't matter.
Sally's never cold. Never, ever, ever.
I am never. My motor's running too hot. I'm always sweating. Yeah, I'm always like, I'm always taking clothes off. I just, I don't like.
He's always taking clothes off lately. Fans would be very interested. But I was thinking like that, it was so fun to be in like Winter Carnival and then fall. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I like a show with a change of seasons and it just makes me, the whole show makes me miss the East Coast, you know?
Yeah. Did you grow up there? Or are you a California girl?
Michigan. So Michigan's very.
It's very four seasons. Yeah. Me too. I tell you though, I could do without the winters.
Yes.
You know, I just had an experience. We, you know, we go away, we go to Colorado every winter for the holidays and we ski and we, but it's so cold. And I think this is the first time that I realized, like, I don't know if I want to do this cold for a whole winter.
Yeah.
So it's like, I kind of appreciate California a little more.
Yes.
It's like, oh, because, you know, look, I was having lunch yesterday out by my pool. Ooh, it was 70 degrees. So I was like,
January 70.
They're not doing this in Colorado right now. Right. They're all freezing their tuchuses off.
I know. And that's what would make to me the pandemic lockdown even harder.
Is
to not be able to eat outside and stuff like that. So I see why the show has become even more popular because I'm just like, I need more escapist entertainment. You know,
it's crazy. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So. Well, let's get into some of these fan questions. What did you think of Gypsy the first time you read your script? This is from Holly from North Carolina, from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Thanks, Holly. I love that question.
Yeah. What did you think of Gypsy the first time you read your script?
I thought I just knew I wanted her to be in a denim shirt. And I knew I had to wear a big watch. I don't know why. I just felt like I needed to audition with a big watch. She would have a big watch. So I thought the way she said in that first scene that you were talking about, Richard in Stars Hollow, I can't look at this car anymore. I miss my home. I miss my home made me believe she's from another country.
Because
she didn't say, I miss being, I don't know what it was about. I missed my home. And I thought, and I went to the audition and there was a lot of really talented people there. And I thought, I don't think any of them are going to do it with an accent. And at the last minute, I just decided she has an accent.
Okay.
She has an accent and I'm going to make her from an indeterminate origin. Gypsy. Okay. She's a gypsy. Maybe that's why they named her Gypsy.
Right.
Oh,
right.
She's from a village. She's a Romani gypsy. And then I thought we are so funny that a comic mechanic would be like, and I now I think it's politically incorrect to say gypsy, but to me, she's gypsy. You know, like it's not, it wasn't a,
she's a traveler.
Right.
Another name for gypsies are travelers.
That's right.
Right.
So I was thinking, okay, it's Hughes Brothers, but she works there. How does she come to? So I just thought I need her to come from a village that no one can figure out where she's from. And that's how I felt about it right away.
Really?
When she said, I can't look at this car anymore. I heard it in my head, like, I can't look at this car anymore. And so then I did it like that.
Right.
But the other people at the audition were not, it was not considered like, it didn't put out, in other words, the breakdown didn't say she's of ethnic origin. No, it didn't say anything. It was just gypsy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really thrilled.
And what was the room like when you got there? Who was there? Was it Gavin and Amy and Leslie Linka Glatter?
Yes. And Amy, I remember she goes, okay, now do exactly what you did, but three times faster. Because every feedback I'd ever gotten and any audition was, Rose, please slow down. Please slow down. And I have no interest. I would always be like, I don't talk too fast. You listen too slow. You know, I love talking fast. So that was really exciting to me. And then later I found out she had pinned me for a pilot called Love and War. I didn't know that she worked on it. And so I thought, oh, she was already a little bit familiar. But before that, when the other casting department, another casting company was casting the first season. They auditioned me for Suki.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
They said she's klutzy. So I went in, I sculpt miniature food out of clay and I knew she was a chef. So I brought my clay. Well, it overshadowed my audition. The casting directors were like, oh my gosh. And like, I go, well, I don't cook, but I make tiny food. And then it just became like all about the tiny food. And I
went
from these people again.
Right.
And then I didn't get it. And Melissa was so perfect for it. So I was like, oh, and then
it wasn't Melissa that they cast.
No, it was
Alex Borstein.
That's right. That's right. And I had done Good Night and Good Luck with her. So mm-hmm. I knew her and I was like, Gilmore Girls, that ship has sailed. Then the second season, because I don't think Gypsy's even, I'm not even in the first season, right?
I don't think so. Fans would know better than I do, but I think it was second season.
Yeah, second
season. Yeah.
So that was cool that they remembered me and thought of, oh, maybe she could play this part.
So here's another question. Okay. This is from Mary Beth from Sacramento. Gypsy has two pigtails. Did the hair department make the choice to keep Gypsy's hair in pigtails or was that your choice?
That was Rose Abdu.
There you go.
Here was my thinking. I know you'll totally understand this. I am that actor. Now I've turned into that actor that's like that girl who was in that thing. I was so excited to get more than one episode. I went, I want people to right away know it's me. Like I didn't think, well, I want to make everything memorable. Like it's a cartoon. Like you always know that. That's her. There's no changes. For sure, I remember her from the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So because I recurred, then I'd go for a couple episodes. You wouldn't see me, then you'd see me again. I wanted it to be the same. But I made the choice for the audition to wear two pigtails just because I don't know. I just thought she'd have two pigtails because she's an auto mechanic and she needs a no-nonsense hairdo. But that was my idea. And I loved it because, as you know, I always say this in this business, if you don't like to be touched all day long, you can't be a television actor because they touch you and they touch you in the head. So it was very nice to have a low maintenance thing where they didn't have to keep readjusting it.
Right. This is from, Jeffrey from Salt Lake City. We got a guy. All right. Favorite gypsy moment.
One of them was a scene that I don't know if it ended up in the big, you know, final thing was the bachelorette party with Emily. And it's for Emily's bachelorette party when I go, please make your mother stop talking to me. So we're on the couch. It's Miss Patty, Emily, Gypsy, Babette. And they made us eat this food and then pass out as though we had been eating all night.
Right.
So we're all laying around the living room with like crackers on our faces and stuff. And that to me was so much fun. It was just so much fun to be indoors. I'd never been in the Lorelei's house before. So to eat snacks with those ladies and laugh in between, we were on this tight little love seat couch. We laughed the entire day. That's my favorite memory by far is working.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got to work with Emily, you know, Kelly Bishop Moore in the revival, but it was
you, Emily, Sally,
Liz Torres
and Liz. Oh my God.
And Melissa. We were all
and
in that
Melissa.
Little, yeah, the bachelorette.
Oh my
party.
Goodness!
So much
oh
fun.
Oh my goodness!
But there was so much footage of us laying around with, like, I remember Sally laying down and putting like Ritz crackers on her cheeks, like we had passed out from eating and eating it. I don't think they showed that in the final cut, but that was my favorite. So fun.
Okay, so here's a question from a Jennifer from Austin, Texas. Why did Gypsy not approve of Luke? Did Gypsy not approve of Luke?
Remember the one with the pink and blue? I do remember this, the pink and blue ribbons. The whole time was split because you broke up.
What?
So
oh,
I
yeah.
say,
oh,
yeah.
really? Really?
And I go, Luke fixes his own truck.
What's wrong with
I
that?
I think I say, Luke, how is that good for me? Gypsy wants business. So yeah, she's like,
so you dislike me because I can fix my own truck?
No business for me.
Wow.
How is that good for me?
All right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Luke fixes his own truck, so I make bupkis off him. I think that's the line.
Jeez.
And then I said something about who doesn't know a piston from a pepperoni? Lorelei, maybe? I don't know. It's something about you fix. So I was like, okay. But then also, I was like, she just didn't think he was good enough for her. That was Gypsy's thought.
Huh.
I don't know.
Wow.
Luke couple, fixes his own truck. Yeah.
Couple of working class people, and you don't like them. All right.
You were all right. And then you came to my, remember the scene you did where you came to my garage to ask me if Jess had been there or something?
Yes.
And I go, yeah, you
or was it
your ears, you ride it, your brakes. And when we don't laugh, when we make a joke, you think we're serious. She just thinks, she didn't really like any of the guys. She didn't like the guys. She's just like, he's annoying.
Wow. Tough nut to crack. Okay. Yep. All right. All right. This is from Anna from Sarasota. What was it about Lorelai and Rory that the character Gypsy loved so much?
You know, that's a great question. I think I love them as people. So as characters, I loved their bond. And I thought, honestly, there's a little part of me that was like, Gypsy didn't know her own mom. And I felt like, oh, look at how well they get along. And they're so close in age, but they're so bonded. And like she would have liked that relationship. You know, she wanted to be in there. They liked her. They referred to her. Sometimes I would watch it and go, oh, they talk about Gypsy when she's not there. Mm-hmm. And I loved that they were so close to each other and they could tell each other anything and that they ate snacks together. And, you know, she would have liked to have that with somebody, I think.
Right. Right, right, right. Interesting, interesting, interesting. How many episodes did you end up doing?
I feel like it's 25, but I 25. Could be wrong. I know there was one where I drove this rickety, old, beautiful, beat-up red pickup truck, and I had to drive it over and over and over again, and I don't think that even made it to air. So I don't know if I can you count the ones you filmed but never made it on camera? I don't know.
Yeah, you can. You get paid for them? You count it.
Yeah. But that was one of my ones that I was like, I'm driving and I lean out the window and I tell Rory, good luck at Yale or something like that. And I thought, all those takes of me driving. And you know, when you don't have this problem, when you're short, they got to put the furniture pad and you got to sit on it and you're too low for the wheel and and you got to hit a mark. Like, it's not easy to drive a giant truck with an old fashioned thing with the, I wasn't great at it. So, but I did it.
Oh my God. Okay. Here's a personal question. This is from Forrest. I guess that's a fella named Forrest. He's from New York City.
I love your name, Forrest.
What car do you drive? Do you know how to change your own oil?
Okay. I've been shown how to change my own oil. I haven't done it myself. Now, I know that might be disappointing to some people, but I will say I have had the same car. I didn't get my driver's license till I was 30 years old.
Really?
So, yeah. So I worked on a television show called Johnny Bago. And
With Peter Dobson.
With Peter Dobson. I love Peter Dobson. And Bob Zemeckis had just directed Used Cars. And the producer said to me, he just worked with a bunch of New York actors who did not have their driver's licenses. So if you don't have your driver's license, you better tell us right now. I go, no, I have my license. And I didn't. So I had to learn how to drive very quickly. I had to take it in 3-hour increments and learn how to drive. And the first time I drove, I had to drive an Arizona patrol car because I was a police officer. It was terrifying. So I'm not like a seasoned driver. I've only had a few cars. I remember I got a Honda because somebody told me that was a good, reliable car. Then I got this little Toyota. I love this car. My car turned 14 That's why I love Lorelai going like, get a new car, when Gypsy's telling her to get a new car and she's attached to her Jeep. I thought, oh my God, I'm like that. I have a 14-year-old tiny little Toyota that I absolutely love. And I keep it in such good shape. The body of it looks beautiful. I buy new hubcaps for it. Like, I love this car. It's so tiny. I can park it anywhere. So I have
it. You know, when I came to LA, I had one phone number. Guess whose phone number that was?
Peter Dobson?
Peter Dobson.
Was it really?
I had one.
How did you meet him?
My buddy from New York, who was a former undercover narcotics officer.
Wow.
Flatbush, Queens, Brooklyn. Wow. Yes. And he became an actor. Okay. By the name of, Rob Sia. Sia. So I knew Rob from New York, and Rob and I used to hang out a lot. Okay. And he's,
like early 90s, right?
This is okay. Like 90-ish.
Right.
Right. And you know, he knew I was going to LA. I was leaving New York and I was going to make the move to LA the first time, you know, many times. But he said, you got to call my friend Peter.
He's the most fun person to hang out. I mean, I haven't seen him in years. Oh,
and
how fun.
And I called him.
What a weird coincidence that we never talked about them.
Right. And I called him. He said, yeah, come on over. You know, any friend of Rob's, a friend of mine. And I'm telling you, that guy at that time was the Pied Piper of Hollywood.
Absolutely.
He was he had more parties. He knew more people. He had more fun.
He had more girlfriends. He was
and
so
had more girlfriends
much fun.
Than
yes.
anybody yes. that I mean, it was just like
such a talented guy. I absolutely loved him. He would tell a story. Like, I remember he bought like a really fancy Cadillac and he was telling the story of how this Winnebago, there was an accident and everything. And then he goes, and then over here was my Cadillac. It's got nothing to do with the story, but it was over there looking beautiful. He's one of the funniest people. I really would love to see him again. I haven't seen him in years, but I played his ex-mafia wife turned parole officer.
Really?
Chasing him around the country in a Winnebago.
Really?
Hence the name. They could never make that show today. Johnny Bago. Right. Somebody would have hated it.
He was an Elvis freak too. He just.
And Elvis. Exactly. When the Mexicans put him in Forrest Gump right after that. Elvis.
Right. Mm-hmm. He'd get full of booze and then he'd start doing Elvis.
He always teased me because he knew I didn't know how to drive. And he was so funny. I was like, I adored him. I thought he was so great. That's so funny. Now I want him to know that we know each other.
I haven't had any. I haven't talked to him in ages.
I'm gonna figure out how to
get ages.
What made us talk about that? Oh, driving.
Johnny Bago.
Johnny Bago, and how I didn't know how to drive. Yeah.
And I remember Johnny Bago. I remember when he was doing Johnny Bago.
Wow.
So, isn't that interesting?
But I love. I do like cars, and I know a lot about cars because of playing Gypsy. Like I do know. They taught me a couple things. The transpo guys would teach me, you know, stuff. But you know that oil, I've told this before, that the oil, they used A1 steak sauce for the oil. They should have just used motor oil.
Really?
So I said, now to this day, I can't smell A1 steak sauce because it makes me sick after doing that one scene where I had to pull it out over and over. I'm like, ugh.
Do you know who else was in that initial group of guys that I hung out with when I got to Hollywood? Was Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
I loved him on Grey's Anatomy.
He was always hanging out at Peter's rented house.
You know what? Maybe that's why he's so familiar to me. He's so talented too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Peter had a couple of roommates. There was a guy who was in, Dazed and Confused movie. So he was doing that movie. There was I forget the guy's name, but he was doing it. He was doing the Richard Linklater movie.
Okay.
And then there was another guy that was living there also who was like had a band or something like that. So those were his two roommates. And Jeffrey would come over and hang out with the guy who was doing the movie. They were always there. Every time I was over there, which was a lot, there was Jeffrey.
Well, you all did very well for yourselves, you cool young Hollywood guys.
We certainly were, what's the word, partaking.
Yeah. Yes. Back in the day. Yes.
I just remember moving to Hollywood and being completely social. I mean, it's all I did was meet people, go to parties, meet more people, go to barbecues, meet more people. I mean, it was just like, you know, if I had a place to crash, great, whatever. And it was just like, I just met so many people when I got here.
It was like that in the 90s. I remember moving from Chicago and thinking like, oh, all my people are out here. I got to move here. And I was like one of the last people to come. A lot of my Chicago Second City people all moved here way before me. But I really, I love it now. I don't think I could go anywhere else. I don't think.
I just remember those initial years here. It was just all about being out, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just like going to the party, going to the function, going, you know, just being out, meeting people. It was just amazing. It was just an open city. It was just like an open city ready to embrace. It was just so much fun.
Different now.
It is a little different, right? Is it because we got older and busy and got lives, or
we got older it gotta be because I think now where I live now, I'm like, oh, I gotta go to that show all the way over there. Well, now, I mean, for the past couple of years, it's been like nobody goes anywhere, but it became like, I wouldn't think of going out. Before, I'd be like, Tuesday night, of course I'm going out.
Right.
Tuesday night, of course, yeah. You know. Yeah.
And one of the old gang who's back in New York, who's originally from New York, is getting in touch with me now, you know, wanting to do a ski trip and the whole thing. And I haven't seen him in years. And I think we're going to go on a ski trip together. Fine. Like, just, I tell you what, we're going to get together and laugh all the crazy stuff we did and all the, oh my God. So many memories. Anyway. Okay. So this is from Rodney from Baton Rouge. Got a couple of, we got the third guy. What did you think of playing a female car mechanic? Did you know about cars before you played the role of Gypsy? And if not, were you given a crash course?
I'm from the Motor City.
There you go.
Detroit auto. But I wasn't a big car person because I never owned a car.
Right.
I was leasing a car. I think when I worked on Gilmore, I leased a car or something. So I didn't know. And the guys were really helpful. Like the transport guys. I love guys on Hollywood sets that, like, you know, they have like big collections of vintage cars, and they have the guys who like loan the picture cars to the set and stuff like that. They'll tell you everything. They love to tell you every detail of how to change. So now I know how to change oil. I know where the engine is. I know the transmission. I know all that stuff.
Right.
But I remember early on, I went to get my own car repaired. I think it was Toyota North Hollywood when I had one of the seasons, and I was standing there and these girls were just staring at me, and I'm looking at them like, what? And they were looking at me and they like, they couldn't believe that this, I realized, oh, they watched the show, because before it wasn't as popular. So it was like weird that these people were looking at me in the car mechanic place, like, she's in the place where the stuff happens, where they fix the cars. Like, it was really funny to me. Right, I just remember thinking like, why are they looking at me? And I'm like, oh, they think Gypsy's there to like
fix
the cars.
Too. Right.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, listen, it's been a lot of fun catching up with you.
I'm so glad you got to do it.
It's always a pleasure. Congratulations Hacks.
Thank you.
That is exciting.
I just found out this morning, and it's fun. It's a great show. It's like, I encourage people to binge it. It's super fun. And second season is gearing up right now. We're in the middle of filming it, and hopefully we'll get to do more than two seasons.
Where do you shoot it?
It was at Paramount. Now it moved to NBC Universal, but there's some locations, but mostly NBC Universal now, which is fun. It's a big lot too. And the tourist tram goes by, and you're always like, I still tell that story of when trams used to go by and I would go to Sally, we're so popular, watch. Hi, everybody. And people would be like, nothing. Like, Gypsy and Babette. We're Gypsy and Babette. Nothing. Not one tourist would be like, oh my God, nothing. And Sally goes, I don't think we're as popular. I go, no, we are. They were just the wrong people. Very nice to see you again.
Good to see you again. You're always welcome.
Thank you.
This show. Good luck with everything. I hope you guys win.
Me too.
I hope you get to do the red carpet and do your interviews and hold your statue high. Much deserved.
You. Any SAG voters, you know, tell them that, you know, listen, there's other people that are great in that category, but come on.
Oh, I'm calling my East Coast boys. They're going to apply a little pressure. You know what I mean? The guys with the crooked noses.
And I'm going to try and find Peter Dobson and tell him that we.
God. A blast from the past.
Yes.
Oh, great. My goodness. All right. Great catching up.
Thank you.
All the best. Stay safe.
Nice to see you. And thank
good,
you.
Good luck. Good luck.
Thanks,
good luck.
Scott. Have a great Golden 2022. Globes.
You too, darling.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, and that's going to do it with Rose Abdu. So nice having her on for the second time. Just love talking to her. I could talk to her all day. And I want to thank her and her team for arranging for her to come back on. I know how busy she is, and I wish her all the best with Hex, and I hope they win in every category they are nominated for the Golden Globes, and that exciting for her. So so happy to see Gilmore people doing very, very well. Anyway, everybody, thanks for downloading. You're the best fans on the planet. Keep emailing. Let us know your feedback. We want it. We need it. We love it. And all the best to you, and everybody stay safe. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, ScottyP.com, S-C-O-T-T-Y-P.com, ScottyP.com. Grade 1 specialty coffee.